Welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. Please head over to our website, bethelbrandon.ca, to figure out how we can best serve you.
Hey, last week, for those who had joined us and those who had joined us online, we're glad that you are here joining us online. We discussed one of the most important scriptures in the Old Testament, and I always find that it's an important passage to look at the beginning of the year. And that was in that passage is, you know, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, we do have it online. Because direction is an important thing for us as believers in Christ. Because sometimes we go through life and we get a little bit disappointed by the way God sometimes is directing our lives. Is there anybody here who has been disappointed with God? Chances are, if you haven't, you have not lived. Because the Bible is full of people who had points and seasons in their lives where they were disappointed with God, and they did not hold back when those particular times had happened. And God has big shoulders, and sometimes we have to express those things to God. And sometimes it's difficult in the process of trusting the Lord. Sometimes it is difficult to trust the Lord, especially when He doesn't show us the game plan. And sometimes we just have a wrong idea of God. Kind of have a thought in our mind, or maybe we have taught errantly, that if I do A and B, then God will do C. And so we do the A and we do the B, and then God doesn't do the C, and we say, "What's up, God? I thought we had a deal." We don't say that. But many times that is the way that we feel, that we have this, what we will call a transactional relationship with God. God, this is what I feel that I should be doing. This is how it should be. And if that is the case, this should be the outcome sooner or later. And when we get part of the later part of that and we don't see that God is going to do it the way that we do, we kind of say within ourselves, "God, I thought we had a deal. Can I even trust you at all?" And this is all part of the process of God moving in our lives. And how you navigate in those times is what makes you grow in your walk with God. And those times where you think that He's not directing, He is probably directing more than you can possibly think. You see, the Bible talks about conventional wisdom, and our conventional wisdom, and then there is what we will call God's intentional wisdom. Conventional wisdom is gained through life experience. It is gained through intelligence and things that we have learned along the path, the perceptions, the pains, the lessons that we have lived. All those things come into effect and help us to be able to live it better as we have gone on years and years and years, and we've learned more and more. That's why, basically, seniors are more wise people. All those seniors will say, okay, so either you are not senior or you just don't think you're a senior. All of those teenagers that are over 70 years old say amen. Amen. Okay. There we go. And I'll say this. I think God does not ever expect us to throw out our brain when it comes to decision makings and how we live our life. I think that there is something to this. But there's something in the scripture that says that there is a little more. That when we passionately follow Christ, we can draw from God who created the earth and the universe. And this is the wisdom that God wants us to strive for, to operate at a wisdom level that goes beyond our scope and above our ability and above all of our knowledge. There's a difference between wisdom gained and the wisdom which is what we'll call given. And so, in the book of Proverbs, and this is where Proverbs chapter 3 is in, it talks in the first third of the book about this pursuit of wisdom. how important it is. And the wonderful thing about it is that wisdom is calling out to us and that God is saying, I want to give you this wisdom. It's not one of those things where God is kind of holding it back. It's one of those things that said that God gives wisdom to them liberally for those who ask in faith. And we kind of have all of these things in Scripture that says that God is seeking to do that. And so we have this popular passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And it is one of the, I guess, the one of the foremost popular Scriptures in the Old Testament. If you take a look at some of the Bible websites that most people go to, and they say, here are the most 100 looked up passages of Scripture. The four top Old Testament Scriptures are Psalm 23, Psalm 91, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, you know, I know the promises I have for you to make you prosperous, you know, that passage of Scripture. And this one, which is here as well. So most people know about it. And most people know about it because if you follow Jesus and you're wanting wisdom to direct your life, this is the passage that you go to. I think everybody wants wisdom. Whether you are a passionate follower of Christ or whether you are here, or whether you are listening, and you're in the process of coming back to Jesus. Or maybe you don't have faith, but God somehow has you here. I believe that every single person is looking for wisdom, looking for direction, looking for something so that God can show them the right way. They want to be directed by God. Here's the thing. It's a question I ask. I say, why don't we? Why are there those times where we don't allow God to direct us? I can give a whole sermon probably on this. Here are the reasons why many times I don't go and get that wisdom. But let me just direct you to one. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 13, there's an incredible story. And it's about the fact that the Israelite army is about to go to war and they're being surrounded and all these things are taking place and the army is up against them. And what they're doing is they're waiting for Samuel to come and do the sacrifice because they want the blessing of the Lord. And before they go and engage in all this stuff, they offer the sacrifice. That was the thing that they did at that particular time. And Saul, who was the first king of Israel at that particular time, is waiting for Samuel. And Samuel's not showing up. And things are getting a little bit more intense until finally Saul says this. He's not here. I'm going to offer the offer. I'm going to give the sacrifice myself. And as soon as the sacrifice is finished, guess what happens? God shows up. Samuel shows up. And he says, what are you doing? And as I think of that story, I think that that's how we are sometimes. That we believe in these things until the heat is on, and then we will resort to our own devices. And so Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, he says, when you really understand or when you really acknowledge God and when you trust in him, he will direct your path. And this is an immediate thing, and this is a lifelong thing as well. And it is a faith thing. And it is a fear thing, and it is a fight thing, and it is a fathom thing, is what we said last week. And I'll tell you this, I am hungry for wisdom. I am hungry for the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I would imagine if you are here today, you are probably facing something, or there is likely something that is going in your life where you're saying, God, I really need your direction. The most important part of your relationship is not so much what you experience in a moment, but what we will experience through our lives daily. So what I want to talk about is wisdom's fine point. I want to stick in Proverbs chapter 3, but I want to talk about wisdom's fine print. Whenever I hear the word fine print, I'm thinking, I don't like fine print because fine print is the thing that you do when you don't really want people to know what you're saying. You know what I mean? And read the fine print. That means the print is so small that they really don't want you to read it. And we ask ourselves, is this the case with this particular scripture? Does the Bible have fine print? No, I don't think that it does. I think the Bible tells us clearly. But I think that we have the tendency to focus in on certain scriptures without taking a look at it within the pure context of what is actually being said. We just want to read the verse that we really most agree with. We want to put that in a frame, put it in our house, and say hallelujah. Without considering everything sometimes, do we? It's a thing which is called proof texting. What we want to do is we have a way, we have a feeling, we want to prove the way we want to feel. And so we will find that verse and we will isolate that verse. But I think that there's something rich and full if you take a look at this whole passage of Scripture. Now, in Proverbs, many times that is a difficult thing to do. Because throughout the book of Proverbs, they have this thing called poetic parallelism. What is that? Well, basically, they're statements that stand alone. They make a statement. And then they go on, and there's especially the last part of Proverbs, they say that, you know. A rich man gets up early in the morning, and a lazy man squanders in poverty. Something like that. Just a parallelism. And it goes on to the next. And it's all this is a series of parallelism. But this particular passage doesn't. It talks about wisdom. And if you read this particular passage, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, you will realize that there are like six things that are tucked in, and it's kind of number three. And if you can take a look at the whole passage of Scripture, it might direct you a little bit quicker. So if you have your Bibles, if you have your Bible apps, whatever way you choose to read the Scriptures, there are some people who they actually have their Bibles. How many actually have their Bibles? Hallelujah. Good. Proverbs chapter 3. Let me start at verse 1. Says this. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. Here's the one we did last week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Isn't it interesting? Interesting passage of Scripture, and perhaps you have not taken a look at this wonderful passage of Scripture as it is seen in the whole passage of those 13 verses. But let me just say this, and I'll do it really quickly. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time in this whole process, but there are six things. There are six commissions that are actually given, and if you give me just a couple minutes, I just want to expound enough to make you hungry for wisdom. Enough to say, okay, God, what do I have to do? What do I really have to do to be directed by you? So here are the five. The first of these six commissions is this. The first one we'll call homework, the commission to seek the Lord. And it starts like this. He says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. This is an interesting passage because if you notice something about this passage, it says this, let your heart keep my commands, not your head to keep my commands. And it makes you ask yourself, why is he talking about the fact that it is your heart that has to keep the commands? Because I believe that there is a difference between head obedience and seeking the heart of obedience. There's something about the fact that when the Spirit of God moves through the Word and it gets into your heart is different than a bunch of things that you have memorized, perhaps after a Sunday school class or after whatever study that you are doing. There has to be a process for the Word to become alive, to go from your head, to go from the reasoning, to go from the logic, to get into your heart. Because you want to be able to obey the Word of God, but you don't want to obey the Word of God because it is just the thing to do. And there's something that Solomon says here, as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the Word of God that gets into your heart will be the impetus, the motivation, the push, the incentive for you to follow God. You will not follow God with head knowledge. You will follow God with heart knowledge. Amen. Homework. The other one is this, what I call hospitality. And that is the commission to serve. And basically it says, don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You know, it's kind of interesting as you take a look at this passage, because all of a sudden it goes from the fact that you got to know and allow the Word of God to get into your heart. And when the Word of God gets into your heart, what happens is it ends up going into your behavior process. You begin to desire truth. You begin to desire mercy. You begin to be a person that desires to serve the Lord. And here's the thing again. It says this, write them on the tablet of your heart. There's that word again. There is something about the impetus of your faith going past the generalities of obedience and following the rules. And when it does, it changes you. It does, it makes a difference somehow, somewhere in your life where you begin to act out the faith that you have. And the thing is with mercy and truth is that if you do live a life of love and mercy towards other people, not only does it honor God, but men find out about it as well. Men, women, people find out that there's a natural byproduct of following Jesus. And people will gravitate to people who are like that. Hospitality. And then the one we've already known before is heed, the commission to surrender. The condition or the commission to actually trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. Now, I don't want to go too deep because we talked about this last week. But let me just show you again. Verse 1, it says, instruct the Lord and learn from the heart. And then it says, have mercy. Write it on the tables of your heart. Then all of a sudden in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You realize that it's all of a sudden implicated three different times. It just keeps talking about the heart. There's something deep that is trying to be said here about the fact that if you really desire wisdom, it has to come from a heart that truly desires to see God move in the deep recesses of our heart. And when you have a trust like that, and when you have an understanding of the God who is unchanging, all power, all of a sudden you were realizing that you can trust in a God like that. And you realize that the God that you serve is bigger. Bigger than your confusion. Bigger than the challenges. Bigger than the pain. Bigger than the perceived unfairness. Bigger than the self-sufficiency and the think that you can do it yourself, that we can heed to Him if we surrender to Him. Commission number 3. Commission number 4 is this, humility. See what it says there? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't depend on conventional wisdom. It's kind of what the scripture is saying. But the thing is, conventional wisdom is the thing that is the default in our hearts, in our lives. And what he says after he says all this, he says, you know what? There will be a temptation to seek the wisdom that you have. And pride is not a problem when we are wise, but pride is a problem when we become wise in our own eyes. Don't get puffed up in this whole thing. Allow the presence of God to humbly show you the way that He wants you to go, because He has access that you don't. Commission number 5, is it? I'm on 3, I'm on 5. Yes, I am. To honor. Now it gets interesting, doesn't it? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. Well, okay, how come money always seems to get in the way with all this stuff? How does money and me giving my money and me surrendering my money and me giving the Lord my money have anything to do with wisdom? I'll say this much, because if you talk about money and possessions, you will ultimately be talking about the heart. And we realize that he's talking about the heart because he's already used the word 3 times in this passage of scripture. And Jesus tells us something in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, when he's talking about money and giving and that. And he says this, makes this statement. He says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. It doesn't say where your heart is, your treasure will be also. It says it the other way. Ultimately, everything that you have will be filtered through this stuff. We seem to have everything connected to our stuff, do we not? And it's interesting that he doesn't just ask how much to God you give, but does God get the best of what you give to him? If you have a piece of pie, and you only have so many pieces of pie to give out to people, you know, the question is not just how much pie do you give God, but do you give God the first piece? So there's something interesting about the fact that when you surrender everything, it actually means everything doesn't. To honor God through your possessions and honor God with the priority of your possessions. And when we get to that point, then God is able to do great things because we're able to trust in him. And if you trust in him with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding and acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll direct your path. Number five. Here's number six. And again, it seems like it gets a little bit more difficult with each step. He says this, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor direct his correction. So what you do, and what that basically is saying, is that you serve God in the good times when you understand him, and you serve God in the bad times when you don't understand him. Right? When it says, you don't trust in the Lord with all your heart as the one we love and lean not on your understanding, that's when it gets kind of difficult, does it not? And this is not popular preaching, but it's certainly what is seen throughout history. The most successful time that the church went ahead, explosive growth of the church, was the first 400 years of the church. But also, it was probably the most persecuted, the most difficult time. You would think that when the church starts, you've got to start off with a bang. They had the day of Pentecost, a wonderful time, and things had grown. But it did not grow in terms of people being popular through their faith. There was persecution that was faced daily. People lost their jobs. People lost their families as a result of living for this faith. And there were difficult things that had happened. And if you're living a faith for God, and if you're serving him with all of your heart, and your theology is that nothing but good should happen to me, then there's going to be a time when you're going to be extremely upset. And I've learned many times that I get upset over the fact that sometimes it seems like I'm the last in line when the blessings come. And I get a little bit upset when I see someone who has a whole lot more than I do. And I'm saying, God, why is it that he has so much or she has so much and I don't have it? Why is it that when it comes to the difficulties, I'm the first in line? Why is it that you have piled so much on me and so little on them? And that becomes a crux to our faith, does it not? And many times, if you're not saying it about yourself, you're probably saying it about someone else that you know. God, why is he going through that? God, why is she going through that? And my answer to you will be, I don't know. And sometimes we will often overlook the purpose of God for discipline. We think that God is disciplining when all of a sudden there's just activities that are taking place where God is trying to put you in the right spot. And I won't be able to probably until I get to heaven explain some of the things that have happened and why some people have harder roads to hold than others. But I do know this, that there is something that happens in the pain that will not happen in any other way. And that's why he includes it on this whole thing about wisdom. Listen, you got to serve God. You got to know his word. You got to know his word, not just by reading it. You need to know the word by absorbing it. And when you're absorbing it, then all of a sudden you will see mercy and you will live out mercy. And not only will God see it, but other people will see it. And you know what? There's going to be times where you're going to need my direction. You're not going to understand me. You're going to have to follow me. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Trust in me. Give me the first fruits of everything. And in that process, you're going to have to serve me in the midst of the difficult times. It's a This is a song, I'm trying to remember her name. Lauren Daigle. Heard a song not too long ago, I'll Trust in You. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. It's a great passage when you put the whole puzzle together, does it not? One of my favorite passages of scripture in 1 Corinthians is 1 Corinthians 13. You know the love chapter. You know, it's the one you kind of see on all the brochures for weddings and stuff like that. You know, when he talks about, you know, if I don't have love, I'm kind of like a big gong going off. And he goes and talks about all that love is not and all that love is. And this wonderful discord that he talks about as he's kind of describing the gifts of the Spirit and where the Corinthian church was. But he says something unique at the end. Before he says, now you have hope, joy, hope. Faith and love, the greatest of these is love. He says this beforehand. And it says in the King James Version, let me show you, it says this, for now we see through a glass darkly. Remember that? Wave to me if you can remember that part of the passage, right? The NIV says this, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Now, I love both translations. And many times we have kind of drifted into the New International Version because the King James could have the these and the thous, and we don't understand it perhaps as well because it was kind of written, you know, hundreds of years ago, and they've kind of updated it a little bit. But I'll tell you this. I think the King James Version has more of the spirit of this particular passage of Scripture. Now we see through a glass darkly. Why does he say that? Well, the mirrors that you had, and many of you might know this already, but for those of you who don't, at the time that Paul was writing this, the mirrors did not have like the silver backing to it so that you can see a perfect reflection to yourself. You know what I mean? It's just you take a look in a mirror now, it looks perfectly like you, does it not? Or it actually is like you, even if you don't think that looks like you, it is you, right? But at that particular time, they didn't have that type of a backing on the glass. They had like a brass or a copper backing. So instead of seeing this absolutely clear, clear reflection, it was dark. It was kind of warped. It kind of was distorted a little bit. And although you could see yourself, you really couldn't see yourself perfectly. Now I see through a glass darkly. I can gather out what I look like, but it's not really clear. And I believe that there is something in that for our lives. Because you might be going through a situation in your life where you kind of know what's happening, but you don't. It's not clear. I would like for it to be clear. I would like to really know what to do. And as that scripture talks about, when you're in heaven, it's going to be absolutely clear. But there's something about the fact that while we are on this journey in earth, there are going to be things that are not clear on situations where we need clarity. Does that make sense? And my prayer for you today, obviously, is to use the brain that God gave you. But I believe that Scripture calls for another level. I believe the Scripture says, if you call upon me, then I will give you the wisdom in those times when you are looking through the glass darkly. And maybe you are here, and that's what you're going through. It might have to do with a relationship. It might have to do with your children. It might have to do with your job. It might have to do with a crisis situation. It might have to do with your health. It might have to do with your money or your investments. I'm not sure. All I know is that in every day of my life as a believer in Jesus, there has been a prayer that has been, God, I need wisdom. That subject matter has changed as I have lived my life. But perhaps you are here and you are looking for wisdom. And if that's the case, I want to be able to open these altars for any person who needs prayer for wisdom. Amen? So God, I just pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I ask God that you will move in a powerful way. And right away, Father, I'll say that there is no power in me that can do that. All I have is conventional wisdom as well. But Lord, when we agree together, Lord, we will call upon heaven, asking God that you will clarify things for me and that you will give us wisdom, God, in situations where we're not too sure what to do. And those are decisions which are important. They deal with our kids. They deal with our family. They deal with my spouse. They deal with my work. They deal with everything that I have to do with my faith, with my ministry, all those things. So God, I just pray in this last little bit, the Lord, you will open the presence of the Holy Spirit to any person who is here and needs wisdom. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, please head over to bethelbrandon.ca to listen to our older messages or maybe connect with us and figure out how we can best serve you. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.